When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
With fancy baseball season getting going here, yes, we're going to have baseball. Don't you worry, folks. You got to get ready for draft season, which remains rotoballer.com. Draft kit is coming out. Premium content, free content, all that good stuff. So you're going to want to become a member at Rotoballer, and it's pretty simple. You sign up, you use promo code Bubba to get you an extra discount over there at rotoballer.com. It'll get you a preseason draft kit. It'll get you in-season premium tools. It'll get you all the free stuff, but it also gets you the DFS stuff, the lineup optimizers, all the premium articles for DFS, everything you need. Baseball's all one thing. Season-long DFS, all in one. Use promo code Bubba. Sign up at rotoballer.com and start getting ready to draft and play like a boss. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 441. Special guest joining me today, first timer on the show. She unfortunately once a week has to talk with this guy, Michael Simeone, which is a real shame, but she does a great job putting up with him. And she doesn't have to drink out of a cup all the time, which is great. And she also writes at Fantrax HQ. So we're little partners over there, which is pretty darn awesome. You can find her on Twitter at LKAUERBACH. Lauren Auerbach, how are we doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I am very excited to be here on Benched with Bubba. I've been looking forward to it and excited to talk baseball with a new person. So that's always fun. Yeah.
That's what I love about this show. And, you know, there's some shows, they're like just partners in crime all the time, which is great. But being able to get new voices, like you guys had Rob on, amazing human being and a great baseball player. Mm-hmm. So it's all great. But it's fun to get to chat. So I'm glad we were able to line something out and have some fun. And we'll throw some fantasy baseball in there too.
All right.
So that's always good. But before we get into that, I always let people have the floor. Mm-hmm. Let everybody know like what you're working on, kind of your background, what's going on with Miss Lauren Auerbach.
I'm trying not to be too depressed about baseball. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and you know, with this whole news coming out, it's just like baseball, you're bumming me out right now. But outside of that, you know, just kind of doing like you said, doing the SP streamer pod once a week, and then also doing content over at Fantrax once a week. That's kind of just what I've been doing baseball wise.
That's great. Like I told you before the show, I was very happy when, you know, we love Doug. We love Doug Ishikawa. Mm-hmm. Yep. But when Mike said he was going to get a new co-host, I was really curious on who he was grabbing. And when he grabbed you to join him on there, I was very excited because it was good to get a new voice out there in the industry. And you're very, very good. So,
well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm looking forward to chatting this up. And it's going to be a pretty... I kind of catered it to what some of your recent articles have been, but also just kind of a fun deal because it usually in March, we're almost close to March, we start changing from like the draft champions formats to more real drafts, fab leagues. So I'm kind of catering to that here a bit. And we're going to talk about late round targets for roto leagues. I took WHIP off the list. I don't know if you noticed it yet, just because late round WHIP is just a guy's just like pulling teeth, basically. But we'll go over the 9 other roto categories and we'll have some fun with that. And for those keeping track at home, we're using anything after the 200 ADP range on NFBC online. Those are 12 team leagues, but it gives a kind of some names people will know at the same time, guys you can take later on to get things going. So we'll start in the fun ones and we'll work our way to the boring ones. And we'll start with the home run department, where there's plenty of options that you can pick and choose from. So who are who's your first later round home run target?
So one of my first later home round targets, and this is actually just inside the 200 ADP threshold. And it's at 205. That's Josh Donaldson. I'm a big Josh Donaldson fan. I think we all know the story with him. He, you know, he's got that injury history. But I think that kind of once you get past this point, especially at that position, there's very few kind of 30 plus homer upside guys. And I think that, yes, like I said, you know, we know that injury history, but, you know, he was able to play 135 games last season and he was able to crank out 26 homers at that. And so I like that. And I will say, I'm going to steal this from Michael Simeone, who is also a big Josh Donaldson fan. And we were talking about him a couple of weeks ago, and he had pointed out that amongst third basemen, Donaldson was top five in ISO, WRC plus, barrel percentage, exit velo, per fly ball, and max EV last season. So we know it's still in there with him. It's just that track record. And I think that at this ADP, I think that he's worth the risk. And I would say also that knowing you should, if you're taking him, or if you're interested in kind of snagging him, you should have your third baseman kind of, he shouldn't be your first third baseman. That should be kind of secured and locked up by this point. But, you know, the DH also may help him. So he may get some help there, where he can kind of squeeze out some extra plate appearances. So I think that, like I said, we're just kind of at that 200 threshold there at the ADP. But I really do like Josh Donaldson for his home run upside, I guess, there.
Yeah, I like him a lot as well. I've wrote about him a few months back, and impressive how much his quality of kind of like his barrels and everything has improved over the last few years. Like, he's getting better. And you mentioned something there with the DH, with Nelson Cruz fully gone, like that could definitely help him a ton. So I'm with you on that one. I prefer not to have him as my starting third baseman, but in some leagues it just happens that way, and it's not the end of the world, at least. But I'm with you, I prefer a corner infield with him. But yeah, definitely good call there. Mine's kind of a longer shot, but I'm hoping on him, the DH, benefiting Rowdy Tellez quite a bit. I absolutely love Rowdy Tellez. We saw 21 homers in 2019 from him in just 111 games. Like, all the projection sites have him for the low 20s, but they only have him playing like 112, 115 games, which in reality he should play like 130 plus if things click right. So now you're talking 25, maybe he runs real hot and gets into the 30s, because there's no questioning his barrel rates, his hard hit rates, his EVs, everything you could think of for the power metrics that you're looking for. He jumps off the page. It's just always been playing time with Rowdy Tellez. And, you know, there's no Dan Vogelbach there anymore. There's no issues of getting in the way of Rowdy Tellez. And he's in a great ballpark to hit in. He's on a pretty darn good lineup still. And he's going to get a lot of bad NL Central pitching to go face as well. So I love Rowdy Tellez. He's still going at a rather nice ADP, I should probably tell people, at 301. So like in a 12-team league, it's towards the end of your draft, 15, he's still sitting there pretty nice at around 20. So I like Rowdy Tellez quite a bit as a later option corner infield type spot.
I like that as well. I will say that was my second player for to target for home run. And I will add to that, I think that you brought up all excellent points. And I will add to it that, you know, I think, like what you said, I think the DH will help him. And one of the things that I think is really interesting about Rowdy is that, you know, you really started to see him change once he went from Toronto to Milwaukee last year. And you started to see these gains, kind of these power gains in really start in 2020. And, you know, I never really liked to put a lot of stock in 2020 stats, but those kind of power gains, they stuck through last season, through the 2021 season. And, you know, and so that's always an encouraging sign to see. And, you know, like you referenced, kind of, you know, his barrel rates and his hard hit rates, you know, his hard hit rate, it's something that he's improved for every season since 2018. I like him. I think that universal DH really helps him secure some playing time. And I know that some people have said, you know, he may lose some at bats, because of his handedness kind of splits. He hits 234 against righties versus 276 against lefties. But I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know who else they would really play, and I don't know that he would necessarily lose a ton of at-bats, but that I think that is something to consider. But I like him. And if you look at his Steamer 600 projections, they have him as a kind of a 30 homer bat. So that is a very, very kind of tasty option in the kind of 300 ADPs.
Yeah, no, he's very, very intriguing. Since I stole him, did you want another one? Or are you good with just Rowdy as your second one?
I'm good with Rowdy as my second one.
Then I'll throw a second one out there real quick. And this is an even longer shot because you're hoping on health. But if he is healthy in Great American Small Park at pick 345, Mike Moustakas is a guy that he's one of these guys, I think, when we see spring training, if we see him hitting, all of a sudden he's going to climb up the ADP board because he's coming at you. Right now, he's only third base eligible. Last year, we had him second base and third base. This is a guy that for years before he was getting hurt, 35, 28, 38, like has a heck of a run of power with Moose. I would lock him into 20 plus if he gets his 130 plus games with the option to 30 plus. The DH will help him. It depends what they do with Suarez. He should be the starting third baseman, but they can move Moose to second, which he played before. There's lots of places he can go, like I said, but not to mention the DH position also. So, he's another guy if you want to sit and wait. I think Moose is one that is very intriguing. It's just you got to hope he's healthy, and so that's why he's going so late now. But he's another guy who will skyrocket.
Yeah, I think I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, I think that Cincinnati ballpark, you know, he really hasn't kind of benefited from that yet because, you know, you had that shortened season and then he was out for a lot of last season. And he was someone I love Moose. He's someone that I had on a couple teams, and he's one of these players that I like so much that I probably held him for too long, you know, but I it was one of those things where I think they kept saying, okay, well, he may be back now. He may be back now. And he just never was, but yeah, I don't think that he's seen that. He hasn't had the time to have that full potential at the Great American Ballpark. The Great American Ballpark. And I think once he does, I think you can easily, you know, like you said, pencil him in for at least 20, 25 home runs. And depending on his health, you know, he could maybe see upper 20s, I think, in the home run category.
Yep, I'm 100% with you. So I'm hoping he's healthy. He's a fun one to watch. But we'll see again. No spring training, no news.
I know, a little tough, yep.
It makes things different. But let's go to the steals department. Everyone talks steals. Everyone says you got to get them early, and there's not much late. And it's true. Like, it's not a lie, but there's little gems here and there, or you can speculate and hope things change. So what's a stolen base target of yours?
You know, one stolen base target of mine that I really liked last year, and I think that he could come through again this year, is Raimel Tapia on the Rockies. He's going about pick 250, 253. And, you know, last season he stole 20 bases in 533 plate appearances. I like him because he's batting leadoff, which is what you want to be seeing typically for when you're looking for steals. And he doesn't come with a bad batting average either. He has a career 280 batting average, so that's nice. You know, the one concern, though, is that it is the Rockies, and I assume that he will bat the, you know, majority of his bats at the leadoff spot. But like I said, it's the Rockies. You know, I don't know. That's what he did last season, but I don't know. I think that it's not like a capital C concern, but it's just something that I'm aware of with him, but I like him. He's not going to give you any, you know, kind of any power or anything. He'll chuck in some RBI, but what I really like is that you're getting, I think, double digit steals at a batting average that won't kill you. And in fact, it could hurt. It could help you.
Yeah, I love Raimel Tapia. I had him in a few different leagues last year. And you made the great point, if it's the Rockies, like they'll probably throw Connor Joe out there from time to time, and just the way it goes. But as long as Tapia is still out there when Connor Joe's leading off, you'll be fine. So, I think that's a great call, and he's going super legs. I think a lot of the talk is on Connor Joe, so it's kind of sliding Tapia down, who I still think is the better of the two leadoff
hitters? I think they have to, like, because he did such a good job last season in terms of leading off. I don't know why they wouldn't keep him there, but I know that that is the talk. And I do like Hong Joe, and I think that he would be very interesting. I mean, I think when Tapia, I think, had a heel injury last season, it was Connor Joe that was at the top, and he played really well. Awesome. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see, those as you know, the 1-2 bats. That'd be kind of interesting, I think.
That's what a normal team would do.
Yeah. Right, so exactly. We take that, you have to throw that out the window with the Rockies, yeah. right?
Yeah, one will bat seventh and one will bat leadoff because that's what they do.
And the Rockies are like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And then they'll trade somebody else.
Yeah, and they'll get a veteran.
That's what they do. like I made the joke with Toby this week. Someone asked a question on Eddie Rosario. I'm like, the Rockies will probably sign him. They don't have enough outfielder. It'd be a great spot for him, but it would screw everything else up.
Exactly. Like, it's like
the perfect spot.
Another prospect to clog, right? Yeah. Like, it's just, let's close that pathway to opportunity.
My first target for steals, it's one that's been growing on me this offseason because all the talk is about Tyler O'Neill in St. Louis, but I think Harrison Bader is quite interesting as well. Like, people are kind of not taking him early because he's going at pick 228 right now because, roster resource has him batting ninth, and he batted towards the lineup a lot last year. But a couple things, even if he still bats at the bottom of the lineup, with the DH, no pitcher there, he'll be able to actually be more productive back there. He'll drive in runs better than most. He'll steal some bags as well. And there's always the chance, say Edmund scuffles or something else happens, Bader should be one of the prime targets to move towards the top of that lineup, which would just elevate him to a whole new level. You were on a very popular podcast over the weekend, and Paul Sporer has opened my eyes. He's one of the ones that kind of got me looking into him more. And he mentioned the idea of him leading off. And I started thinking, okay, if you dig into his profile, like, he's not powerful like Tyler O'Neill. There's a lot of similarities in like the overall hit profile, like the approach of the plate as Tyler O'Neill. Again, not the power. I don't want anybody to expect that, but you're still going to get double digit homers from Bader. You're going to get double digit steals. He's going to score runs. He's going to hit for an okay average, and he's going to play great defense, which will keep him in the lineup every day. So I think Harrison Bader is one of those that you can draft with like a good floor in mind with a potential ceiling, which is something I like to get later in drafts. So he'd be my first one.
Right. I think that's true. And I think that that's an interesting point in terms of leading off and, kind of looking at his 2021 numbers here. I mean, he was able to up his batting average too, because he cut his strikeouts down from 32% to 21.2%, which is good. I think that if he were to be, kind of lead off, that would be very interesting. And very productive, run production wise. Yeah, I like that.
Just pure speculation, but it's, if it doesn't work, you drop him. You go somewhere else.
That's
but,
true.
Just a thought.
But it was, where was he? Like a 228?
228. So he's not like super late, but he's probably your fourth, fifth outfielder, depending on how you're drafting. So not the end of the world.
Right.
Who is your second option?
So my second option was Nicky Lopez, who's also kind of going the same ballpark as Tapia, which is kind of that 250 ADP. And, he was someone that I think, kind of came on strong last season, and he finished with 22 stolen bases and 565 plate appearances. That also came with a 300 batting average, which I think the knock on him or the kind of concern is that he won't, we'll have some regression there. And I think that could be true, but he also has a really kind of solid plate approach. He has a 14.3% strikeout rate. And then he has, above average plate discipline numbers, talking about a career 91.1% zone contact rate and above average chase rate. So I think that the skills are there, that even if he's, not going to bat 300, I don't think that, I kind of envision kind of a 260, 270, and maybe he holds something higher than 270. But again, kind of like Tapia, it's kind of very similar, where I think that you're going to get some steals at a batting average that isn't going to hurt you. He should be playing every day, near the top of that lineup. And so I don't know, I'm kind of in on Nicky Lopez, which I didn't realize that I was, but I am now. So I kind of, and I always like finding those things out when you dig a little bit deeper into players.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. That was my other one too. So this is a good one to agree on, because like you, I was not in on Nicky Lopez to start this year. It's just been one of those things. It's like, I think it might've been the Miles Straw, like back and forth all over Twitter, where I'm like, Nicky Lopez is like 80% of miles draw potentially. You're getting them a lot later. So it's just like, and that's how I kind of like to draft, is where can I find similar players at different values and everything. And the thing with Nicky Lopez, I think that I was most worried about early on was playing time, but even in a lack of news, they've already said with Mondesi, they want to DH him a lot. They want to limit his playing time. Okay. That takes that out of the way. What about Bobby Witt Jr.? That's the big concern, but they've already said they can move Bobby to second, or they can move Nicky to second. Like, they seem pretty like willing and wanting to put Nicky Lopez out there, which we saw for 151 games last year, and it seems like they want to do that again. So if that's the case, it's great. There's some people, some prospect people that have followed Nicky quite a bit in the minors. And I can't remember who it was. They said one of their bold predictions this year is that he steals 40 bases. Like, he's he's their Whit Merrifield. And like, I don't know if I'm going out on that limb, but that would be awesome. And that makes this pick even better.
That'd be bonus.
Yeah. But it's like, we know the Royals will run, and they will run until they can't stop running. And if he is hitting second, like he's projected to do, you have Whit in front of him, you have Salvi behind him. They bring up Prado, like Benintendi is not that as bad as people get like say.
I love Benintendi.
Like, I've been sniping him everywhere. So this Royals lineup is sneaky. It's sneaky, interesting.
It is, yeah.
And at least for fantasy wise, maybe not real life. But I like Nicky Lopez. He's growing on me the more things go. It's
same.
And it's one of those picks that you don't have to like force your hand, like I said, on a straw or someone else. 5, 6, 10 rounds earlier, if you just think, oh, I need steals so bad. Like, don't go going for Andrés Giménez if you don't like him. Like, just wait and get – at least Lopez will play and not kill you. Like, at least add average or something. So I'm with you on Nicky Lopez.
Yeah, I think, like, the point, like, with Giménez, I mean, Giménez could get sent back down to the minors, you know? I mean, and I think that that's one of the good things about Nicky Lopez is I do think that he probably is in there every day. So you get that volume. And at that price is good, you know?
Yeah, 100% with you. So he is definitely one that's growing on me, and that's not think I'd say that about a month and a half ago. So here we are. Batting average, the oh-so-fun batting average. And interestingly enough, since batting average has dropped across baseball, there's more people that kind of help out here for once.
True.
So who's your first target?
So my first target is Gene Segura. He's one of the kind of the early targets. He has a 214 ADP. And, you know, I have to say this is kind of a boring veteran alert, but I, you know, Bubba, I love these boring veteran guys. I love the guys because they always
Speak for my second Fantasy Pros article in mid-March. I get to write about the all boring team. So
I love the all boring team.
It's right in my wheelhouse.
Okay. Like, I cannot wait for that then. I love the all boring team. You know, these are guys that are just undervalued. You know, they contribute a little across the board versus kind of standing out in one category. And I just love these guys. And I don't know why, but they're always undervalued. But so Gene Segura, I think I didn't realize that he had a career 285 batting average. I knew that he was a sneaky source of runs and, like I said, kind of contributed across the board. But I didn't realize that the batting average was 285. And, you know, I wanted to point him out too, because I think that when you think of batting average guys that you can get like really late in the drafts, I think that typically you think of kind of like Luis Arias and, you know, maybe a Michael Brantley. And I think that those guys are totally legit guys. I don't know, maybe it was just me. I didn't realize that Segura had such a strong batting average. So I wanted to point that out. And, you know, he's one of these guys, again, with the boring average guys, is that he's durable, but you will get volume from him. And, you know, he's projected for around 580 to 630 plate appearances. And I will take that every day with that plus batting average.
Yeah, I'll just get this out of the way now because he was one of my runs guys.
And wasn't saying he can also go for runs.
Yes, and because you mentioned that when you said, I'm like, yeah, well, that's why I put him down there, because I put other guys. It's just the beauty of it. But I love Gene Segura. I agree with everything you said. And he's one of those guys that goes later in drafts that helps you in multiple categories. He can get you double-digit steals. He can get you 12, 13, 15 home runs. He's going to be in that good Phillies lineup. Like, I'm with you 100%. And that batting average is a plus. Because like you said, career 285, you just look at 290, the shortened season 266, but then 280, 304, 300, 319. Like, that's crazy.
I know. How good it surprised me.
So, and he's durable, like you said, for the most part, especially as he gets older. Still 131 games last year, 54 in the shortened season, but 144, 144, 125, 153. Like, he's playing games. Lots of like with Gene Segura. So.
Yep.
Yep. 100% on board with you on that one. You mentioned my first one because it is all boring, and I just could not. I'd make sure one of us mentioned him, because if we didn't, we'd have probably people rioting the show. Mm-hmm. But it is Michael Brantley. Yep. He is extremely boring, but
I love Brantley, though. I love Brantley.
Yeah, you get like a near 300 batting average. Like, mm-hmm. sure, you're going to be happy if he hits 10 home runs. He's not going to steal any bases, but he's going to hit close to 300. And in a perfect world, like, he only played 121 games last year. He's been banged up a little bit of late, but maybe he stays healthy this year. They still battle like fifth in the lineup, sometimes third. And I know Correa's gone and everything. Springer's obviously gone, but still a good lineup. With
the lineup Altuve, is still solid. Yeah.
Bregman, Tucker, Yordan, like Gurriel. He's going to have options to drive people in or score runs. Mm-hmm. So I love Brantley. I like him a lot. He's very, very boring. Very, very boring. And he might be so boring, he might not even make my article. But because he really is just like a one-trick pony for now. Mm-hmm. But there's the chance he could help more in runs and RBIs than he has in recent years. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too long ago in 2019, he had 88 runs scored and 90 RBIs. Like, that, you'd be over the moon for that.
Yeah. Oh, you take that every day, right?
So he's a guy that I'd still kind of go to battle with. And if you need batting average, definitely one to go there. Mm-hmm. Who's your second one?
So Adam Frazier is my second one, and has a 345 ADP. So digging a little bit deeper, and he's coming off of a career year. He had a career kind of batting average he had a 305 batting average and a 368 OBP. And he posted a career best 10.8% strikeout rate, which was fourth best in the league. And so, he knows how to get on base, and his career batting average is 281. And I think you can make the same kind of similar arguments with Frazier that you can about Segura. I think you can also throw him in. He's a strong run candidate. I think you can get maybe 75 plus runs out of him. And I like that he, is eligible for second base and outfield. And, I don't know. I think one thing that I was impressed last season with Frazier, with his 305 batting average, and that strikeout rate that I had mentioned, was that, he had that like in Pittsburgh, and then when he was traded to San Diego, he was, he didn't kind of have one spot that he was hitting out of in the lineup, and they kind of just moved him up and down the lineup, but he still was able to hold kind of that strikeout rate and that batting average. So I think that stuff sticks. I think that's good to see. And I think that he's going to be hitting, probably at one or either lead off or probably out of the two spot in Seattle. And I think that's kind of an interesting lineup there. I think it's improved. And so I don't know. I like him. I like him for the batting average, like I said, and I also like him for runs.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting one for sure. Like you said, San Diego kind of yo-yoed him around mm-hmm. a lot last year, which I'm never a fan of if you're trying to get consistent production. So yeah. The fact he was able to still – he was an all-star before he got traded. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you, and he should play every day for Seattle, mm-hmm. hitting towards the top of the lineup. And you mentioned it's an interesting lineup because it really is. There's a lot of young talent, and there's question marks across the board, but we know how good they are. Mm-hmm. And if they click, it could be one of those really sneaky good teams. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If they don't click, it's just like, well, Frazier will still be productive, but just what's the surrounding stats to go with it? So I think that's a good one. And he's going so late because I think people are. Yeah. I think people are remembering the San Diego days more than the total package with him. Mm-hmm. And it's making him kind of slide down the board. So I think it's a very interesting. I know I'm kind of guilty of it because I don't think I have any shares so far. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, very intriguing one.
Yeah,
for sure.
And he can contribute some speed as well. So, again, it's like one of those guys kind of across the board minus really kind of power and RBI. But at that price point, I think he's definitely worth a consideration.
All right. Mine's not like a monster 300 average guy. He only hit 271 last year. But let me remind people, the mm-hmm. Average in baseball is 245. Mm-hmm. And he hit 297 in the shortened season of 2020. And he only had 16 homers last year, but he led baseball or was towards the top of baseball in doubles. So I believe he's going to have more homers. So it's kind of a combo thing. I just love this guy, so I had to put him in here somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that is Jaime Candelario.
The Candyman, right?
Yes, Candyman. I think he is super underappreciated, I guess is the word. He's going up on pick 280. And at a third base position that's, as we all know, not the greatest, mm-hmm. I think the Candyman should be getting a lot more love. He's walked, 9.7, rounded up, 10% or more of the time all 4 years in the bigs, mm-hmm. which is great for young players. Plate discipline, his strikeout rate dropped 21.6 last year, best of his career. And he continues to hit for power. And like I said, it's, I remember years ago with Machado, they kept saying he's doubles, doubles, doubles. But eventually those doubles turn into home runs. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, he had 42 doubles last year.
Oh, like, wow. That is crazy.
And I know Detroit does that to hitters a lot.
Yep.
That's part of the ballpark. Yep. But even if he like becomes a 32 double guy, now he's got 26 homers or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for like a massive change in things, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of talent there. And he had 297 last year in a shortened season, 271 this past year. Projections don't believe in him. They haven't hit like 250, but I, mm-hmm. even in the minors, he was a very, very good offensive talent. He's with the Cubs, got traded to Detroit. So he's a guy that I had to put him somewhere. I didn't want to put him in the home run department because mm-hmm. I don't believe he's that high, but I do believe he gives you a steady batting average with a lot of other good counting stats. Cause the other thing is he still has a good Tigers lineup. And I know you are a big fan, like mm-hmm. I am, of Javi mm-hmm. Baez.
Yep.
I think that just helps Candy out even more. Mm-hmm. So, I think there's a lot to like with him, and it like literally it's little things like that. If say Javi's hitting behind him or in front of him and Miggy's behind him, mm-hmm. that's just more good pitches he gets to hit. So
yeah,
I really like Candy this year. I think 270 is very doable with the potential to get 280, 290, if not higher. So I like Candy.
I really like that call. In fact, he's one of my kind of favorite kind of back and third baseman. I am also very intrigued by this Tiger lineup this season. Mm-hmm. The Tigers are a very intriguing team to me this year, and it's one of those things where I'm really kind of rooting for them. And you know, I think that the lineup, like you said, you know, you have like Robbie Grossman, you have Akil Baddoo, Javi. I love Javi. Scope, Miggy. You know, I just think that there's a lot there. And yeah, I think that field doesn't really play, isn't like really the friendliest for batters, but it does mean a lot of doubles. And I think that if you kind of have this intriguing lineup and you have a lot of speed guys too in front of him, I think that that's, I think there's a lot of potential here. And I like it. I'm all in. And I really do like that call.
Yeah, I think he's one of the ones that won't stand out, but mm-hmm. is quite interesting.
And that's fine. You know, it's like that. And yep. then it's like you take those guys, you know?
Yep, most definitely. Runs. The mm-hmm. also fun runs category. Yeah, who is your first runs. One?
I'm going with Kiki Hernandez as my first one. He's going about 243 ADP right now. And I think it's just one of the things we saw what, you know, he can do with kind of a full set of plate appearances. You know, he had 585 last season and, you know, that meant he had 20 home runs, you know, 84 runs, which is what we're talking about, and 250 batting average. And that also went with a 199 ISO, which is good, and a 337 OBP. And, you know, he's got solid plate approach, and he's had that kind of throughout his career. And what's nice is, you know, he's batting leadoff. He's ahead of guys like Devers, Bogarts, and Martinez. It's a plus lineup. These are things that you always kind of want to try and target if you can when you're looking for, you know, kind of late and run targets. Plus, he also has that, you know, like Adam Frazier, he's got that second base and that outfield eligibility, which is great. Makes him a little bit more, you know, flexible option. And so I really like him, and I kind of am buying into what we saw last season.
Yeah, I think that's a great call as well. I have zero problems with that one. I think he's going to be very, very productive this season. My first one, similar to the Adam Frazier call earlier, mm-hmm. Charlie Blackman has been growing on me more and more. I mean, Nicky wrote this call, but Charlie Blackman has been growing on me. And this is a guy that for years I've been anti-Charlie Blackman, not mm-hmm. doing it. But now at ADP 260, and if we're talking runs, like the power's declining. That was kind of mm-hmm. noticeable, but he's still at 2 sec. Like, he could have been a batting average guy, 270, 303, 340. Like he's been a batting average asset, but 76 runs last year, kind of in a down season. Prior to mm-hmm. that, 112, 100 or better four straight years. Yeah. Obviously a different team, but still, he's sitting in the middle of the lineup. Projection sites all have him 75 to 85 runs. That team is going to struggle, but still, I love McMahon. I think Brendan Rodgers is good. You mentioned Tapia. Mm-hmm. There's still good players there. It's still Coors Field. And the DH, I think, will keep him on the field a lot more.
That's true.
Like he played 150 games last year, which surprised me to see when I looked at it. But even if they want to rest him more, because he's only 35, like same age as Michael mm-hmm. Brantley. Like mm-hmm. we give Blackman so much trouble as I do, mm-hmm. but he's not that old. So I think he's an interesting run source. Most don't look at him because his power's declined, doesn't steal bags, but hits for a pretty good average. So I like Charlie Blackman. I'm willing to buy in at the lower ADP compared to most years.
Yeah, I like that too. And I think he also could, you know, throw in, you know, a decent amount of RBI this season too, you know? And I think at that ADP, yeah, I think it's like, you know, it's almost like his ADP. It's like this kind of decline in power and average, even though it is a plus average. It's this kind of, it seems like it's baked into the price. And so I think that it's actually, it's pretty good. I like that. Yeah.
All right. Who is your second one?
Who's my second one? Oh, Cesar Hernandez.
I had him down first. I crossed him out for Blackman. That's funny.
He is so easy for me. Yep. And I don't know if he's going to make your boring guys list, your boring player alert, it's just like, again, a durable, consistent run producer, you know, in three of the past four full seasons, he's logged more than 635 plate appearances and finished more than 80 with at least 80 runs or more. He's done this consistently. He's done this four times in the past four different teams in the past four seasons. So it's not necessarily team dependent. It's a skill that he's able to bring to the table. And, you know, now he's in Washington and, you know, he's hitting in that two hole in front of Soto and Josh Bell. And it's just one of these things where it's like, do not overthink this. This is just too easy at, you know, pick 354. This is a player that I guarantee, like, people do not, they don't draft him, but it's silly. You should. And he's just, again, he's one of those accumulators, those volume accumulator guys. I love him. And he's so easy. That's it.
No, he's a really fun one. I love him too. That's why I'm so funny. I literally had him down. I'm like, I'll put Charlie Blackman out there instead because I'll be doing something different. Mm-hmm. I love Cesar. And you mentioned 354. Like mm-hmm. you said, he won't get drafted in a lot of 12 team leagues. Mm-hmm. He'll get passed on because those last picks, people are taking chances on, you know, this guy or that guy. And Cesar is just so steady. If it's like round 25 and you're like, I don't have a middle infielder, just take Cesar. Like, he's totally fine. Only hit 232 last year, but prior to that, he's an average asset. Projections have him back up to close to 260. But what he's done in recent years is kind of stop stealing and hitting for power. Mm-hmm. So he adds that, which will score runs, obviously. And you mentioned he had 84 runs scored last year. He had 77, 91, 85 the four previous full seasons. He's going to hit right in front of that big guy, Juan Soto, and Josh Bell. So I am 100% on board with you. And I'm honestly surprised he's still going that late in draft. I really am. But
it's the boring player, you know, mm-hmm. whatever symptom or something. It's just.
Yeah. You can almost just pencil him in.
Yeah. Then that's the thing. And it's just like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what, you know, fantasy managers, it's like, they just want kind of like a shiny
new toy.
It's like a shiny new toy, mm-hmm. or I really want someone to give me a bunch of, you know, steals or home runs. And it's like, yeah, but what about these guys that do this consistently across the board year after year? And she's like, yeah, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah. And we're in the later rounds and all these guys are going to have warts one way or another. Exactly. Like, they're not going to give you five categories. So mm-mm. you got to start looking at what you can get and build around that. And that's why a great exercise is kind of working backwards in your draft strategy. Yes. Like, kind of start seeing what you can do to fill in holes. And it's little pieces like this. Mm-hmm. I mentioned my second guy was Gene Segura. Mm-hmm. Already covered that. He's awesome.
Yep.
So let's head to RBIs. Okay. Who would be your first RBI person? Because this is an interesting one. It should be a lot of options, actually.
I think there are. I will say, and I did write about this, but I'm a really big Tyler Naquin fan this season. If you're targeting a late round RBI guy, he's going around 345 ADP. He had a really strong first season with the Reds last year, but it was really his second half that was impressive. He slashed a 314, 370, 535 with a 384 WOBA and a 136 WRC before a rib injury shortened his season in September. And what I like most about him is that he should be hitting in the middle of that Reds lineup. It's a great ballpark. And he'll be behind, you know, Jonathan India, Jesse Winker, Joey Votto. All of these hitters have just this incredible knack for getting on base. You know, all three of those guys finished last season with a top 10 on base percentage in 2021. So Naquin just is in this prime opportunity to just drive in a ton of runs in a great ballpark. there is a chance that he could lose some at bats to lefties because he only batted 197 against them. But, you know, he just killed righties to the tune of 283 last year. So, you know, like I said, he may lose some time, but I don't think it's a big deal. And I think with the guys in front of him on the bases, I'm just really in on Tyler Naquin this year for RBI.
It's a very good one, especially at his draft price. Like you mentioned before the injury, a lot of people might have forgot how good he was. He was on an absolute tear. So, and that's what kept Jonathan India actually out in the minor leagues for a while. So it was kind of a weird combo there. But it'd be interesting to see Naquin come back. I think it's a good gamble as things go on. You mentioned you like the Tigers. I like the Tigers. So let's talk more Tigers.
Let's talk Tigers.
This is a guy that I think I talk about every chance I get, and I've gotten kind of some pushback from a few people. But Jonathan Scope is so underappreciated.
I love Scope.
He's up to pick 237 now, which is a big jump compared to earlier this season. But you want to talk boring players? You could win a bar bet if you said, hey, who's hit at least 20 home runs in like five full seasons? Jonathan Scope is at 21 or more home runs in every year, but 2020, of course, back to 2016. And the best part about Jonathan Scope is he does it with batting average. He's basically at like 265, 270 or higher in like four of the last five full seasons, which again, you'd probably win a bet on that. And his runs scored are in like the 60 to 70 plus. His RBIs are in the, he had 84 RBIs and 85 runs scored last year. He had 105 RBIs back in 2017. So he can be super, super productive. Again, we both kind of think that lineup's going to be better. He's going to play every day because Miggy can't play in the field every day. Plus, Scope right now depends on him to play second base, but he's got that oh-so-beautiful first base, second base eligibility, which gives you middle infield, corner infield. So you can fill four spots in your roster with Jonathan Scope. So I love Jonathan Scope. I have a lot of shares of Jonathan Scope, and I'll continue to have a lot of shares of Jonathan Scope because if that, you know, past pick 200, I can pencil in that kind of a stat line. Big fan of that. So, and last but not least, the one thing I want to mention before I get even more, he's only 30 years old. Only 30 years old.
Is so he only 30? Jeez.
Nagy's age. He feels like he's been playing forever.
Yeah.
So I want to throw that out there too, is he's technically still not out of his potential prime, or he's not like way past his prime. Like there's still production there. So give me Jonathan Scope.
You know, it's really crazy in terms about the age. You know, I live in DC and I think it's like we had so many years of him out in Baltimore, you know, and I just, I didn't realize that. He's still 30. Yeah. No, I love that call. I love Scope. Again, another boring player alert. And you're going to get like four categories out of him, right? You're just not going to get any steals because he's also going to give you that plus batting average. And I think that he covers, you know, a combined, you know, the run production categories. So, you know, I know we're talking about RBI there, but, you know, I think that he can also contribute in runs, and you've got that, you know, probably 20 plus, you know, 20, maybe 25 home run potential. So he's got four categories kind of covered. And so I think that, you know, this is also something you want to try and look for, you know, especially as you go kind of dig deeper into the draft, you know, find guys that are, you know, as balanced as can be, you know, if possible. So I like it.
You're in DC. How is it being a Braves fan in the enemy's backyard?
Well, it's very interesting because I also had, you know, season tickets. What is this, like a couple of years ago? And so I always go out to the Braves games. I'm always wearing kind of my Braves thing. And, you know, we ended up getting season tickets, sharing them with a couple of friends. And we split the seats. And the thing is that I wouldn't buy a like Nationals gear because I felt that was just kind of like blasphemy. So what we did instead was I do have a hat that has like the W for like the Washington Senators. And that's like a hat that I feel is like appropriate. I can go and do that, but it's not really a Nationals hat but still do that. But you know, it's fun. They're right in my backyard. And then, you know, Baltimore is also close too. So, and that's like a really great stadium. I love going to Camden. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of how I deal with it. I wear a Washington Senators hat if I have to wear any national stuff, because I actually don't own any national stuff. But
I don't blame you. The sarcastic person in me would buy Montreal Expos gear.
Well, there you go. That would work too.
That's what I would do. All right, back to the scheduled program. Who is your second RBI target?
So it's Randal Grichuk, who also you can get pretty late at 357. And he can be kind of, he can kind of go up and down. He can be a little bit streaky. But, you know, in each of the last two full seasons, you know, he's logged at least 545 plate appearances, his 20 home runs, and at least 80 RBI, despite finishing with just horrible WOBA and WRC numbers. I don't know how he does this, but he does. And like I said, he can kind of, the downside is he can kind of, you have to ride his kind of hot and cold streaks, I think. But, you know, he has steadily, you know, lowered his strikeout rate each season since 2017. And he's improved some of his contact rates. And so, I don't know, he somehow manages to do this. And the big thing for me is that we're kind of looking really late in the draft, around 357 ADP. He has a potent lineup. You know, Marcus Semien is not there anymore, but it's still a really plus-plus lineup. You know, last season they scored the third most runs in the league. And so there's a lot of potential there in terms of, you know, RBI. So I think that you're looking at, you know, a middle of the order bat with a ton of opportunity and a plus lineup. And so I like that.
Yeah, I'm always a big fan of Grichuk. Just get the playing time and we're in. So yeah, with you on that one. Mine is going around pick 280 right now. And he played 135 games last year, which is the most of his career. So injuries have always been a concern for Miguel Sano. But what isn't a concern for Miguel Sano is power and run production. He won't hit for a great average. He's done it a couple times, but not very often. And he won't steal any bases. He actually stole two bases last year, surprisingly. But he drove in 75 runs last year. He's driven them seven or more in three of the last four full seasons. And he hit 30 home runs. He's done that in back-to-back full seasons. So the power is legit. The run production is there. He's going to have a good spot in that order to hit in. It's just stay healthy. He's 29 years old. He's fallen so much in drafts in years past. He was going much, much earlier. I think people have kind of had it with the lack of average or injury concern, which is what he's done. But if you really want to like grain of salt it, he played 135 games last year, played 53 in the 60 game season. So he's at least played a good chunk of the season in the last 2 years. And if he can give you another 130, 140 games, he'll be quite productive. Just have a go get one of the boring batting average people.
I think that's a thing. I think for me, I do tend to shy away from kind of very like low batting average guys, even though, you know, you can get these, you know, plus home run, you know, really kind of bottom out in average guys. But, you know, I don't really take players off the board 100% because I think that depending on your roster build, you can build around certain players and certain lack of skill sets that players bring to the table. And I think that if you needed power, he's a really good power source. For me, like I said, it's always kind of, I've shied away a little bit because of the batting average. And then he just kind of that track record though, of whether he's injured or he's not the most durable player. I will say that actually Michael Semien is kind of in on him this season because he was reading that I think Sano, I guess, in some like off-season article was saying that Sano's kind of really gotten into really good shape. And this, I guess one of the criticisms about Sano is that he just kind of
he doesn't really care.
Yeah. And so Michael was like, well, maybe this is a sign, you know, kind of one of those non things that you find kind of in the numbers and stats, but just kind of in real life. Well, maybe he is kind of caring for whatever reason a little bit more. And maybe we'll really see like, you know, a ton of, you know, production from Sano this year. I do like those narratives. I totally am a sucker for this.
That's all we have right now. It's that and Ronald Acuna videos. Exactly. That's all we have right now. Exactly. So you just kind of like, you got to take what you can because of content creators, it's like grasping at straws. So yes, we're trying to get best shape of our lives without seeing them in the best shape of their lives. It's so much fun.
Right.
Let's go to the pitching department where like predicting pitching besides maybe strikeouts is very difficult. You got to just give yourself a narrative and roll with it. So the wins department. Who was one of the targets for wins?
Well, so here's the thing. So you just totally took up what I was going to say, which is I find wins to be a headache in terms of trying to project because I feel like it's very fluky. It's like dart throwing. And outside of kind of, you know, either looking for strong offensive teams, I had a hard time doing this and I am just going to just throw this back out to you because I don't even, it's dart throwy to me and I can't, give you a reason why I think someone's going to win and project like a big win. So
try writing an article on it. It's so much
that's
fun.
What I'm doing. I'm throwing it back to you, Bubba.
I still went for Roto Baller about late targets and NFBC draft champions. So it's even worse than this. And I'm just like,
What do you look for then? Are you looking for?
I'm looking for guys that have potential for double digit wins. Like, just give me double digit. That'd be like over the moon with that. And that's why, like, I tweeted the other day about Patrick Corbin, who I actually do believe in as a bounce back guy, but he'd be a guy late. That's not who I put here because I think people have heard me talk about him enough. But and he's going way past what ADP in like a 12 team
500.
He's free agent. So for me, I started with the guy I just believe in to have a huge year to begin with. He's going to ADP 210. That's Jordan Montgomery. I'm a big believer in what he can do. You mentioned something about the big offense. Yankees have one of those. So that's a big plus. He made 30 starts last year, pitched 157 innings, which I think that shocked me when I first dug into him a couple months ago. Only got 6 wins then, but I think there's room to build on that. I think he's definitely one we could see get 10 plus wins. He's got good strikeout stuff. Ratios are pretty solid. So I almost put him as the ERA guy too, but I'm just a big, I call him Jomo fan. So he'd be a guy for me, and I'll just go straight to the second one here because this is a guy that any listener would be like, "Are you drunk, Bubba?" I said, "No, no, I'm not." But again, it's ugly. But if you look at track record, at pick 286, he's free agent though. But Zach Greinke.
Okay.
This is one, even the projections have him for 10 wins, which is saying something, but he had 11 wins last year and he wasn't even that good, in my opinion. A 4.16 ERA, one of the worst of his career, but he's had double digit wins in every full season back to 2008.
Okay. You've sold me on that. I think that's
like, it's just one of those, like, he's boring, but he's those veteran guy that's going to like get you 6 innings and keep you, he'll get blown up from time to time. But he's going to keep you in more games when he's not. And whatever team signs, he's 38. So whatever team signs him, they're just going to let him pitch. Like, go throw your 110 pitches every game. They don't care because it's probably some bad team with young pitching that needs him to, like, eat up the bullpen. So it could be horrible. It could blow up because he is getting older, and he was pretty bad last year. But if you're just looking for wins, I think he's actually got that kind of pedigree to put it together.
I can see that. Wait, where is he going again?
280.
280. Okay, yeah. So I think that he'll be there. And I honestly, I think that I feel – you know, like a lot of fantasy managers, like if you don't kind of, if you aren't bringing really, if you're not a huge kind of like strikeout upside guy, I feel like there's a tendency just to be like, well, you know, no, like you're bringing me down here. And so I think that he could be overlooked, but I do like that stat. If he has these kind of this history of double digit wins, that I like that.
Yeah, he stays healthy. But yeah, like, cause that's how I draft. I know a lot of people do. Like, I want guys that can strike guys out because if at least things are going bad, he's getting me
you
something.
At least have that. Yep.
Because Greinke had less than 7 Ks per 9. Like, it's a soft tossing gimmick out there.
I feel right like now. At one point last season, he was like, it was like five like Ks per 9. And I was like, what is going on here?
It's bad. It's real bad. There's no doubt about that. So it's just, it's tough to stomach, but it's there. One we can kind of look at more is strikeouts. Strikeouts is one you can kind of like, the guy is a strikeout guy or he isn't, unless there's a pitch and exchange we don't know about.
Right.
So who is a strikeout target for you?
I am interested in Josiah Gray this season, and he's going at 283. I just think that he has a ton of upside, and I think this is going to be a rocky season for him, but I think that we're talking about strikeouts here, and the upside is there, and you know, I think it stems mostly from his curveball, which is a 47.8% whiff rate, and his slider, which is a 45% whiff rate. And his fastball isn't as effective, but it does have potential, and it has above average vertical movement. And so I think that you have that solid arsenal there. But like what I said, I think that it could be a little roller coastery this season, because he did have a rough debut last year. He ended the season with a 5.48 ERA and a 1.36 WHIP across 70.2 innings. But his ERA estimators said that he pitched better than that. And I think another thing that is kind of keeping his draft price low is he also had a 10.7% walk rate. But I think it's important to know that, you know, he never had a walk rate in the double digits at all in the minors. So that could kind of regress a little bit. You know, I don't know. He's got the arsenal. He has, you know, above average plate discipline. He's got, you know, above average chase rate at 35.1%. Same with zone contact rate. He had a 14.1% swinging strike rate and a 28.3% CSW rate. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I threw so many numbers at you. But I think that these are like, yeah, you know, important numbers to throw out. So I don't know. I think that if people are scared off by his ERA and his WHIP last season, I think that you shouldn't be. And I think that at this price, I think that there's a lot of K upside there, and you should kind of take advantage of that, because I think, you know, once he starts pitching this season, you know, I think that he'll just, you know, he's just going to be going off the draft board. So I think you can get in, you should get in on him now. If you can, he's probably like one of the most exciting arms in the Nationals, you know, rotation. So
I agree. He's one of the biggest, he's the big piece that got Scherzer and Trey LA. So there's a lot to like. You mentioned the walks. He had some home runs issues last year that he didn't have in years past either in the minors. So those are things that you can tweak as you get going. The strikeout stuff's legit. Like you said, the arsenal's great. And what I really like to see is, you know, some young guys get babied here and there. When the Nats traded for him, they pitched.
They put him in.
Yeah, yep. So I was really happy to see that, which makes you feel pretty confident going into this season. He's just going to be ready to roll. So I like that call quite a bit. Mine, especially with the recent Lance McCullers news, is Christian Javier going around pick 312. Yep. He only made 9 starts out of his 36 appearances last year, but he's very, very effective. Low ERA below 4, the FIP a little above 4. He had 131 Ks in his 101 innings pitch. Good for a 30.7 K percentage. Did walk too many guys. That was a bugaboo of his. What's crazy, though, he had a 12.5% walk rate, but his WHIP was only 1.18. So he did not let guys hit the baseball, which was very, very effective for Christian Javier. And he's another guy, you've talked like arsenals and stuff. He's got quite the effective arsenal. So I really like what we're seeing with him. And with the recent news, like, I was kind of in and out on him because I didn't know where he'd fit in the rotation. But, you know, there's always going to be a spot to get some starts. With the recent McCullers news, given I was already concerned with him to begin with, and I'm not saying he's done for the year or anything, obviously, but they're going to have to kind of baby him a bit, probably, which opens the door for Javier a lot.
Do you think he's the next man up, Javier?
He should be. Yeah, because that's kind of how he was used last year. So that's how I think he'll be used. That'd be Mike, because I think Granke's gone now. And, you know, they got Verlander, which would be huge. I love Verlander. That's a a great draft pick if you guys want to get him. But let's just pull up the old roster resource.
That's what I was doing here.
Yeah, because you got Verlander, you're gonna have Framber, Luis Garcia, Urquidy, and McCullers. Urquidy has trouble staying healthy. Verlander could have trouble staying healthy. We'll see. And then McCullers already isn't healthy.
Yeah.
So I'd say Javier is your next next man up. That'd be at least my look at it. And I still have Jake Odorizzi too. So
yeah,
that makes things tough.
But yeah,
I'd rather have Javier than Odorizzi.
Yeah, well, yeah, and there's no, I mean, those are like apples and oranges, right? I mean, yeah, that's interesting. And you know, as of now, he's projected for about 100 innings. You know, so I think that if you get a bump up from that, and with his strikeout rate, I do like that. I think it's a little sneaky.
Yep. All right, who's your second one?
Who is my second one? So my second one's Andrew Heaney, and I only wanted to bring him up because I know that he's been kind of a buzzy name recently, and I didn't want to bring up players that were kind of buzzy because I wanted to give other options. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I've never, ever been in on Andrew Heaney, and I just am like, no, like I won't. He's kind of on my do not draft list, primarily because of his home run problem and his ugly career surface stats. But the skills are there, and I am intrigued by the 1-year contract with the Dodgers. And, you know, a lot of, you know, last season he had finished the year with a 4.72 ERA and a 1.32 WHIP, which is gross, but he had a 4.85 FIP and a 3.84 Sierra. And so he's pitching better than that. He also ended the year with a 19.5% strikeout minus walk rate, which ranked 31st amongst pitchers with at least 100 innings pitched. And, you know, again, with, you know, I always talk about kind of contract plate discipline metrics and contact rates, but these are important. And he has just above average, well above average numbers across the board. It's just really with Heaney, it's that you know, it's that home run issue because he doesn't command his fastball well. And it may be easier to, you know, maybe easier said than done. It's just like, well, why can't you, maybe the Dodgers can help him, you know, command his fastball better, or have a pitch mix change where he relies a little bit more on his breaking balls. I don't know. And I guess it doesn't really matter either, because I think at this price point at about 300 ADP, you know, he's basically free. And, you know, I think my point is that there's a lot of strikeout potential sitting there at that price. And if he is a bust, if you start kind of seeing where, you know, he still has these kind of home run issues, then I think that you can drop him. But I think that if he does hit, I think it's a big hit at this point in the game for the strikeout categories.
Yeah, I agree. He's always had the potential to just keep the ball in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. That's Benigni's problem. And you mentioned a lot of people are very optimistic because the Dodgers know how to do things mm-hmm. with these guys. So if anybody can fix him, kind of, this is one of the teams to do it. So yeah. 100% with you there. Yeah. My second option is Nick Pivetta, pick 344. He's always been a scary guy to roster in years past because there's a lot of ups and downs with Mr. Nicholas Pivetta. Mm-hmm. But one thing he does is strike guys out. Basically a 24% or better strikeout rate in 4 or 5 seasons. He had 26.5% K rate last year. Still walks a handful of guys, which is an issue for him, and gives up way too many home runs, which is actually last year was one of the best years for him not giving up home runs, mm-hmm. which was great to see. But, you know, in a team that needs him to pitch because you have some younger arms that have some question marks, and what we've seen develop with Nick Pivetta since he's been a Red Sox, he's actually – been much better, and the pitch mix has been more effective for him, and he's mm-hmm. really pumping the gas. Like, he's taking notes out of the Nate Eovaldi handbook. Mm-hmm. So I like Nick Pivetta. He's one of those free guys. He's mentioned in a lot of conversations with Andrew Heaney as that kind of option to take that next step. So mm-hmm. Pivetta would be a dude for me.
I do like that call. You know, it's funny because I've come across him around, you know, in drafts, and I haven't scooped him up anywhere, but I always think about it and then I pass, but maybe I should look a little bit harder.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but mm-hmm. in a couple of my draft champions leagues with some very sharp quote unquote veteran players, mm-hmm. I've gotten DMs when I've taken Nick Pivetta that involve an F and a U. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. I've been called a lot of things in my life, but I'm going to take it as a compliment.
I think you should take that as a compliment. So yeah.
We'll see where that one goes. Let's talk ERA. Another one that's like, okay. How do we like predict ERA? Mm-hmm. Well, we'll try. Yeah. Like, it's one of my Granky calls going to be kind of a thing like that. So who you got for ERA?
So I'm going to buy into the Tony Disco career for Anthony Descalfani last year. And he's actually just going, when we're talking about 200, he's like right at that point, he's at 203. So he's definitely someone that you can get. It's not too deep of a pick, but you know, he finished last season with a 317 ERA and a 109 WHIP. Now that came with a 411 Sierra and a 362 FIP. So there will be regression. I don't think that he's going to be kind of like a three, you know, 310, 320 pitcher. But with him, it's me buying more into the Giants organization in terms of kind of pitcher development. You know, they're kind of like these pitcher whisperers, and they've shown, you know, after, you know, just all these pitchers that they know what they're doing. And I think that, like I said, there may be some regression with him, but I'm really also buying, you know, not only the Giants organization, but that move from Cincinnati to San Francisco, big change in parks. You know, the Great American Ballpark is the third best park for hitters. And then you're moving to Oracle Park, which is more of a pitcher's park. So it's one of those things where it's not necessarily me pointing to stats as opposed to kind of a change of scenery. And they were able to do this with Desclafani 1 year. And I still think, like I said, I'm not saying he's going to get 317 ERA, but I think he could do it, you know, sub, you know, 350, maybe something like 330, 320 ERA. And I don't know. I don't think a lot of people are buying into him for some reason. I think they're maybe wary of this career year. They don't want to kind of chase that, but I don't know. I'm chasing it. I don't know why. Well, actually, I don't know why, but I am chasing it. Yeah.
As a Giants fan, I'm a fan of that call. Mm-hmm. So, and then they have made some impressive moves, and people should believe in Disco. That's mm-hmm. for sure. So mm-hmm. I'm with you on that one. My first one is an old man that is going to a team that does take care of their pitchers well. Mm-hmm. If you liked what Michael Wacha did last year, you should like what Corey Kluber could do this year.
Yeah.
the thing with Kluber that's going to be frustrating is they're going to control his innings, kind of like they did Walker. Maybe a little longer leash than Walker, but with the injury past of Kluber, they're going to kind of make sure he's within realm. But in doing so, it should limit the damage with Corey Kluber. So he had a 3.83 ERA last year. He's been low three or a below four ER guy in like five of the last six seasons. Mm-hmm. So we've seen that in his career. He's been able to do this time and time again. He used to pitch a lot of innings too, but the strikeout rate was still very good. I think they're going to utilize him very well. Pitching in the trop can help a ton as well. So I'm going to roll a Kluber, a guy I usually don't draft at all, but the situation and the draft price of 330 allows Kluber to have some serious upside. If he can put together a handful of like good five, maybe six inning starts, he could be a sneaky later option that if it all fails, he's almost one of your last picks, so you could drop him. But I think he's definitely got the upside for you.
I like this call. I think that this is the best landing place for Kluber, mm-hmm. Because I think that it is an organization, another organization that knows how to work with their pitchers. And I think that it's a perfect fit because, he's going to come in, he's not going to give you, you can't expect like 200 innings from him, but he's perfect because Tampa Bay has all these other kind of younger arms and, they like to have kind of these hybrid pitchers. And I think that they will, they'll give these younger pitchers opportunities, but you'll also have Kluber in there. And I think they are just going to like mix all that up. And I think that it's a really good landing spot for him.
100% agree. Who is your second ERA player?
My computer is frozen. So I just found it. So this is kind of a little bit deeper. This is pick 358 and it's Dakota Hudson. Ooh. And I have been scooping him up in drafts. I think that he's interesting and he is basically free, so I'm happy to do this. But he's in the Cardinals rotation. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery. I think he had two starts last season. But it's kind of intriguing to me because he's a ground ball pitcher. He's got the best defense in the league behind him, so that helps him. And in 249.2 career innings pitched, he's never had an ERA above 3.35. So I'm kind of intrigued by this. Now it could totally flop, but like I said, at this draft price, and on this team and with that kind of ground ball kind of makeup as a pitcher, I'm intrigued by this. So I'm in on him for an ERA.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. That's a very sneaky one. The ground ball with that defense behind him can be tremendous. So I think that's a very, very good one. I'll be honest, I don't have a second one. Okay. There's nothing I could, like, I wanted to try to throw a dart at some certain guys. I'm like, no, it's just.
I didn't have any win guys, so yeah,
it's
okay.
False hope. It's false hope. But I do have saves, guys. So let's talk saves. Let's take it home with some saves. And there's actually a handful of them back here if you want to take some darts. So who's one of the saves people?
So I'm going back to the Giants here. I have been taking shots on Jake McGee. I know that everyone is talking about Camilla Duvall, and maybe Duvall ends up with a job. But, I don't know. McGee had 31 saves last season. This is a team that doesn't spread the saves around a ton. He had, like I said, McGee had 31 saves. Tyler Rogers had 13. And I don't know. I think that even if Duvall does well, I can also see a situation where maybe they both get kind of like 15 to 18 saves. I don't know. It's a strong offense. I'm kind of guessing at this point. And so those are my thoughts with Jake Meehan on the save front.
No, I think it's a good call because, and I think some are starting to slowly get to that angle because Duvall's been dropping in drafts, but I agree. Cause I like right after the season, some people were asking me, I said at best, Duvall gets 70% at best.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask as a Giants fan.
That's at best because that's just what Kapler does. Mm-hmm. And we saw it last year because Rogers had a ton of saves too.
Yep.
And the thing with Duvall, as great as he is, the reason why he never stuck for so long is his command is horrific. And if people start laying off the slider or whatever and things get bad again, it could change things. I think McGee is a very good late option for sure. For me, Tyler Wells. Baltimore Orioles will be my first one. He had four saves last year towards the end of the season because, there was talk about him early in the year, but then he had Cesar Valdez and all these other guys getting stuff done. And he finally got his chance later in the year in 44 appearances. And he racked up those four saves, but great strikeout stuff. He had a 29% K rate last year, 30.7% back in 2018. He's been out of the Major League Baseball system for a few years. People forgot about him, but really jumped back in a big way last year. It looks really, really good. The fastball is pretty darn outstanding. And he wasn't walking as many people as he was before when he's in the Twins organization. So I think there's a lot to like with Wells. There's a lot of question marks from the Baltimore bullpen. It's Cole Sulcer still there. Yep. He probably starts out with the gig, but I think it's Wells' gig in the end. And I think he leads the team in saves by the time things are all said and done. Okay. So Tyler Wells is a guy I like quite a bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think it's interesting because I think a lot of fantasy managers, they'll kind of shy away from, you know, kind of like bad teams. But I think that it's also a smart strategy to zero in on bad teams with pitchers that have plus skills, you know? And so I think that that's, I like that call. I like the Tyler Wells call because is he penciled in right now as a closer or is it Sulcer?
No, it's still Sulcer for now. But if you follow like Greg Jewett or any of those guys, he's got Sulcer and Wells as like 1A, 1B.
Okay. All right.
Committee. So
you know, I love Greg Jewett.
Jewett's the man. Yep, he's the absolute man. So yeah, definitely support him, as I say all the time on this show. Who is your second save target?
Well, actually, Greg Jewett, you know, is one who kind of turned me on to Jorge Alcala. And, you know, I just think with the Twins, and I've also been taking some shots on Alcala as well, because right now he's at 350 ADP. And I know, you know, Alcala has skills. I know we want rollover skills, but, you know, you have Taylor Rogers in front of him. And, you know, he finished the season on the IL. I think that the Twins were trying to move him before the lockout. And so I think that Alcala could have a shot, you know, especially coming out of the lockout. I mean, I think that Rogers could get traded. I think that I don't know if that means that Alcala is the next man up per se, but I think that he could have a decent shot at getting some saves throughout the season. And like I said, I think the skills are there. He's a 21% K minus BB rate. And again, above average kind of chase zone contact rates. He's got the stuff. He just needs the role. So, but at this point at like 350, we're just speculating here. So, but I like that. Yeah.
I love Alcala. I think it's a great call. That's who I had written down actually. Mm-hmm. But I wrote down an extra one because this is a range I like quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So, Alcala, a big fan. Ryan Roof joined me right after the season started. We went through all 30 teams for all closing situations. Then Jewett's been a part of it. Like it's been a fun thing, but yeah, Ryan opened my eyes to Alcala right away. So I was snagging him early in draft and holds. And I think he's got a serious chance to get there. My other one who I have a ton of shares of as well is Josh Stomont of the Kansas City Royals. He's going at pick 348. Everybody loves Barlow. Barlow's been very good. Don't get me wrong. But we know the Royals move things around a lot. And B, with Stomont, you mentioned how like Michael got the Sano article that kind of stood out to him. Stomont was on record early this winter or something, talking about he had COVID in spring training and it zapped his energy in a big way. And if you watch his fastball graph, it's like a T or like at the top of like a triangle. And it took him a long time in the season to get it together. He pitched really well for a while in the middle of the season when his velo was back up. And then he lost all his energy again because he was just gassed from this and went all the way back down. So, and his stats just coincide with the whole cha-cha. He had five saves still with all that being said. Still struck out almost 10 per nine. He had a K rate of 27.3%. After 2020, had a 33% K rate. He's always had walk issues, but a lot of these flamethrowers do. But Stomont, when he was sitting 97, 97 and a half, 98, he was filthy. And he should be back there. All reports are he's feeling much better when he gave that interview and everything. So if he can get that kind of stuff back, that entering 2021, he was kind of the guy that was supposed to be the closer. I think he's one that could be interesting because Barlow's good and all. But, you know, I guarantee you could ask people and like 90% wouldn't know who Barlow was before last season.
Right.
So this was supposed to be Stomont's job. We'll see if he gets it back, but I think he will at some point and he might keep it. So he's a guy that I like quite a bit.
I am totally in on this. I read the same article. And like I said, I love these narratives when you have pitchers saying like, hey, listen, I was out, COVID completely shut me down. And I've read the same thing. And I think that is a very sneaky save source. I love it.
All right, let's do a couple listener questions. I have one from Twitter and one in the chat here. James Treviglio asks Lauren, he asks every guest this, who is this year's Akil Baddoo for you? Like out of nowhere, he's going to shock us and be something very good.
Out of nowhere. Oh, I've been talking about kind of, well, can it be a pitcher?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because I have been talking about Spencer Howard kind of coming out of nowhere and doing really well. I can't explain it. I don't really know why, but I think it's just, you know, he was like this top prospect who just has really kind of stumbled in his kind of limited professional career. And he was with the Phillies and he got traded over to the Rangers, I believe, with the Ian Kennedy deal.
Yep.
And, you know, Howard has said, you know, he didn't like how he was kind of handled in Philly. And it just, I think comes, for me, it comes down to this is, I think the fantasy community sometimes is really quick to hop off of players if that kind of struggle. You know, he, like I said, he was a top prospect. He hasn't played really well. But I think given the chance, he's right now, he's penciled in as the fifth starter in Texas. And I don't know. I kind of think that he could surprise people this season.
I don't hate it for a couple of reasons. Well, A, you mentioned the pedigree. I'm always a believer in pedigree. As long as a major league team is still giving them a chance, someone believes in something that's way smarter than me.
Right.
So that says a lot. B, as much as we give the Rangers a hard time for being such a bad baseball team, they develop pitching. Like Kyle Gibson, Lyles, like these guys that were bad, even Mike Minor, who wasn't bad, but he pitched, like they pitched really well, and now it's a pitcher's ballpark. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a pitcher's ballpark until last year. Right. So that's intriguing. That's very intriguing to at least, you know, give him a full run, because he kind of, in Philadelphia, he'd get some starts, Minors, bullpen, Minors, just kind of all over the board, plus the ballpark doesn't help at all. So, yeah, that's an interesting one for sure. I think that could be a fun one that I wouldn't be shocked if he kind of takes a big step there for sure. And then Drew at @Fru_Dorte asked us, everyone talks about finding late round speed, but if you get your speed on top, you may want to find a late round power outbreak. Which late round guys do you like to be power breakouts? Well, we kind of talked about home run guys, but were there any other players that stood out to you as a kind of out of
nowhere? I mean, really, like Rowdy Tellez is, I think, a big one. I do think that word is kind of getting out on Rowdy, though. But I just like him again, you know, like what we had talked about. I'm trying to think kind of like later round power options. Because he's the one that jumps.
The one I'll mention, but he might, there's a couple. I'm a huge fan of Gavin Sheets.
Yeah, I've heard the talk on Gavin Sheets.
If he can play every day.
But that's the thing. Is he a platoon bat?
That's tough. Like he should play every day, but they have a lot of options there, which is interesting. And then the other one, which might not even get drafted, but someone worth keeping an eye on, but depending on how things go with like Bobby Dalbec and company, Tristan Casas is one that he could definitely be one that takes that humongous leap.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like people talk about that, like that Dalbec has this really short leash, essentially.
See, I don't think he does, but I've heard a lot of people say, like you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Power wise. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like mostly Tellez is someone that really pops out right now for me.
Like basically, because we're, like I said at the beginning of the show, we're talking redraft, not as much draft and hold. So in redraft wise, there's not really, you're not really taking those type of like long shots that often. So it's really not the deal there. But Drew, if you're curious, I had an article last week about guys late in NFBC draft. So go for it. And Lauren's got some as well. So go check those out. They'll have a lot of options for you too. But Lauren, we're going to wrap it up there. Okay. I had an absolute pleasure. But
I had a really great time. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Before we wrap it up, again, remind everybody where they can find you, when they can expect your awesome show, all that good stuff.
Okay. Right. So you can find me on Twitter at LK Auerbach. And I think that you spelled my name out, which I feel like I always have to do. It's LK Auerbach. So you can find me on Twitter there. I co-host the SP Streamer podcast with Michael Simeone, and those come out once a week, typically on a Wednesday. We record on Wednesday, they come out on Thursdays. And then at the end of the week, I do a daily content for Fantrax. And so right now I'm kind of pushing out articles for the draft kit, which Bubba is also doing as well. So I do that once a week. So those are the places that if you want baseball content, where you can find me.
Yeah, it's awesome stuff. You guys should go check it out and follow Lauren if you are not, because it's been a pleasure getting to know her and from afar now on the show for a little bit here. So it's been great. And I look forward to doing this again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a blast. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me. And we'll have to do it again.
Yes, we definitely will. But again, make sure you check her out on Twitter at LK Auerbach and over at SP Streamer, Fantrax HQ, all that good stuff. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 441. Catch you guys later.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.